Backseat Producers, episode 152, The Last Airbender. Hey, this is Tony.
And this is Daryl.
Hi, this is Holden.
And this is David.
If we are the backseat producers.
Plus one.
Plus one. We've got the booster seat producer with us tonight.
And he's already rocked it out a couple times. So this is going to be an excellent recording.
He's brought our energy way up.
Yeah, okay.
He's already sang for us, told some jokes.
He brought the average age down, so we are a younger, more energetic, fitter, leaner podcast.
More smelt.
And I have a joke for everybody to hear.
All right.
Bring it on.
Lay it.
Why did the cookie go to the doctor?
Why did the cookie go to the doctor?
Because he felt crummy.
That was good. I didn't see that coming. That was good.
Okay, so we have our special guest Holden with us tonight, because tonight we are talking about The Last Airbender.
Neosect is right. If you get in a choir now, Holden, you too can have a sweet ponytail like me by the time you're my age.
Yes.
That's true. if his mom lets him.
That's very true. All right, next week we're talking about The Wrestler. Let's just get that out of the way, and let's just go ahead and jump straight into the movie, because I'm ready to talk about
priorities.
This.
Let's get this going.
Yeah.
One priority, too. Inevitably, comparisons will be made to the series.
I got an idea what we could do. The recording.
Go for it.
We would go around the table.
Uh huh.
Say our favorite parts of the movie, and then talk about the whole movie.
That sounds like a fine idea.
That's fine. I will not be making any comparisons to the TV show, none whatsoever.
Okay.
That's my favorite part of the movie. Not making comparisons to the TV show.
Pull, firepower. There's the best right here.
That's right there, man. Boom goes the dynamite, and you're the dynamite. All right, Tony, what was your favorite part?
My favorite part, I think, was the uprising in the Earthbender village.
Really?
That action sequence. The action sequence there was, I thought, was really well done.
Okay.
Some of the bigger, more epic battle sequences were great, but I feel like every movie feels like it needs to have a big epic battle sequence. So, you know, it's expected. I really liked that more intimate close-up action.
Daddy, can you pause it for a sec?
No, we just
You're
keep
live.
Going.
Okay. Go for it, Daryl.
All right.
The best moderator we have.
I don't know. Part of me wants to say the best part was when the end credits rolled, but I'll say the... when they finally got to the Northern Water Tribe and that whole interaction between Princess Yui and changing into the Moon Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of the best section there.
That was solid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Me?
Go for it.
My favorite part was when I found out that the Blue Spirit was actually Zuko. Because I found out, because we seen these episodes on the show on Xbox, and Zuko's having those two swords in that blue mask.
Well, he's Blue Spirit.
Yeah, he's the Blue Spirit.
Yeah, he stole those swords from that man. And also my favorite part was when Aang was like...
Okay, people can't see you, so you gotta describe it, yeah.
Turn the ship around.
Like oh, this. Yeah. Yeah, and he is doing the pose that Aang did in the movie for those of us who aren't live with us tonight.
Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and agree with Holden on this. I think the Blue Spirit whole section there, like, it spent like 15 minutes in the movie, but it was like one half of an episode of the series.
Yeah.
Which, and I dug it. I was in for that. Because there wasn't a lot of talking, and there was a lot of
action.
It was action, and it did advance the story.
It did advance the story, but it was non-stop bending action.
Yes. Yeah, it was non-stop bending action, advanced the story, and it gave you some of Zuko's motivation, I think.
Right.
All right. Talk about the whole movie now.
You got over there. All right, let's run through. What'd you think of the guy who played Aang?
I think he was pretty good. I think he rocked that movie out. I think he rocked that out. I think if I was in there, if I was Aang, I would do a lot of bending. I would do a lot of bending in the movie. Like, a lot.
Okay.
A lot of bending.
Gotcha.
Alright, what did you guys think of the guy who played Aang? I refuse to use the names that they use in the movie. Just
Aang?
Yeah, I refuse that. I reject it.
I don't have a pro- I'll go ahead and say right now the pronunciation of all the names, it felt like they ignored any other pronunciation and just used the written word, and the written word as it's spelled, I would pronounce it Aang. I would pronounce it Iroh. You know, they didn't do it the same, but the way those names are written, that's how I would have pronounced them. So I didn't have a problem with that.
It was a weird dichotomy, though, because the movie starts off with the exact same introduction.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Read in the same intonation by the same character as the TV show.
It starts out with Katara practicing watermelon.
No, I'm actually talking about when she does the intro.
Yeah, the opening intro with the red background.
Yeah.
That starts every episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even I like the part where they first found Aang. I like the part when he put where you saw where actually all his tattoos were.
Right.
Right.
The arrows weren't just cut right here.
Actually, I dug the way that they did the arrows, too, where it wasn't just a solid line. It was, like, little designs and swirls,
yeah.
Like in the...
Yeah, like in the middle of the triangle part, I like those three swirls.
I dug that. So the dichotomy was that they start the movie off the exact same way that the TV show starts, but they mispronounce the names. And so it was like, hey, yeah, this is the same movie, but... Screw you if you think you're getting the TV show! Yeah! And I was like, alright.
Yeah, as far as the actor goes, learning, you know, after the fact I learned that he had no formal acting training before he auditioned for this, and he actually auditioned on YouTube.
What? Flex with me.
Aang.
That's right. So he auditioned on YouTube.
He auditioned on YouTube strictly for his martial arts talent.
Did you check out the YouTube there?
I did. I did. Wow.
Raise your hand if you love that movie!
Hey, Holden, which way to the beach? That way. Okay, so...
Daddy, question.
Go for it.
Can you take that off?
Why? What
I
are we doing?
I just want it off. It's getting weird.
Which What's part? This?
No.
This?
Yeah.
We need that on so we can see what the room
says. That's how we can keep in touch with what's been said.
That's right. How I know how funny people think I am.
Okay.
Feedback.
Yeah.
All right. So, but the actor I thought was really good, considering he really wasn't an actor. He was there for his martial arts. And I was impressed by the martial artwork while we were watching the movie. I thought, man, this kid has gone through some serious... This actor has gone through some serious training to be a martial artist. Turns out it was the other way around. And I dug that. I think they went the right way with that.
I'll show him my airbending moves.
All right.
After.
Okay.
Yeah, I was pretty impressed. I mean, not because he really rocked it out, just because he was more It was more of a subtle thing than...
You think I should be in the movie?
Yeah, I think you should be Aang.
We'll talk about
it. Yeah, anyway. Falsorsus is right. All he has to do is sit there and absorb exposition and look frustrated. That was my big complaint with this movie. The exposition was painful.
Yes.
It's like, hey, this happened because this, and then we go back to like...
You know what?
I got a good thing that should be in the recording. I had this DS game of Avatar.
Why don't you stay over by the microphone?
I'll show you.
We can't... We're not pulling the DS out right now.
I'm not.
Okay.
This little game contains, like, this little awesome side effect. I don't know what it is. It's just that it's really awesome. I just want to tell you guys that I was in the Earth Kingdom. I finally defeated the Earth King. And now I'm in Return to Umashu.
Wait. Have you finished the series?
No.
Okay.
I'm just still on
Return. He's talking about the game.
No, I know.
He hasn't finished watching the series, but he knows how it ends.
Oh.
Because his friends have talked about it.
Oh. And your friend spoiled it for you.
He almost spoiled it for me.
Yeah. Oh.
But he is through the whole story.
I told him to shush many times, didn't I? Because you almost told me the end.
Yeah.
All right.
And there was this funny part where Sokka just got spit out. That was funny. By Appa.
That was hilarious. Like, that's hilarious because they're having a conversation in the front and then you just spit him out.
Like,
oh my god! Appa, eat Momo!
And then he was like, what?
I think you actually fell there.
No, I didn't.
No, that was actually planned. Okay, so... The rest of the acting.
I hated Katara, which means that she did her job well.
Yeah, I mean...
I hated Katara for book one Katara, so she did her job well.
She was book one Katara.
She was book one Katara.
Daddy?
Yes, sir?
This weekend...
We're just talking about the movie right now.
Well, it has to do with The Last Airbender. But not the movie, the series.
Okay, just a second. We'll talk about that in a little bit.
Okay.
I mean, we can run pretty quickly through these. Katara, I was fine with Katara. She was obnoxious, as she's supposed to be.
My favorite was, Zuko. Zuko and Aang. Those were my favorites.
See... I had a problem with Zuko. Zuko didn't seem
like angsty
enough. He didn't seem angsty
his
enough.
His burn was...
But it wasn't burny enough.
Yeah, it wasn't burny.
You're right. You're right. It should have been more...
It should have been more darkish
obvious,
red.
Obvious.
More darkish red.
Yes.
Right, because it's the whole...
Yeah.
He has been marked.
Yeah, big time. Big time marked.
But it doesn't... Yeah, you don't get the...
And it took him like 100 years to find it. 100.
He's only been exiled for 3 years.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's only been exiled.
He's only like 17. But Aang's been missing for 100 years. That's where he gets...
Zuko also seemed a little bit old.
Yeah. No, I had the comic book... I had the comic book of chapter 2. And was just like, you're just a teenager to Zuko. And Zuko was like, just a teenager, eh? And then...
Yep.
Yeah, the whole Zuko thing is that, like, there's this weird kind of dual nature to Zuko, because, like, he... Okay, so he's only 17-ish. I think he's actually younger than that, but... Okay, so he was exiled 3 years ago because he stood up to his father in a war meeting, and he's like, hey, let's not slaughter our innocent troops for no reason. That's a huge adult move right there.
Yeah.
Like,
there's yeah, I mean,
like, he grows up, but the like his grow-up arc is weird, because by the time he's exiled, he's making adult, rational decisions for the betterment of his country.
And, well, and you learn, I mean, you learn by the time you get to book three, kind of the weird nature of his family, yeah. And why he's kind of pushed on? Into that. The yes. camera is on, yes.
No, what about the video? We don't see it.
It's on.
It's on.
It's just
behind. What, don't
it's right there.
Yeah, I mean, when you kind of grow up, when you start seeing his backstory, a whole lot of things start to suddenly make sense about him, why he's such he's so twisted up inside.
Yeah, and...
I mean, having a psychotic father, a crazed sister, a missing mother, and being kicked out of your own home, being scarred permanently, and his like I say, his grow-up arc is a hero's journey. He has to learn
just like
exactly
Scar and Kovu.
Unlearn just about everything he's been taught.
Yeah, and let's go ahead and say right now, we're likely going to spoil the whole series at some... I mean, maybe. I mean, potentially we could spoil the whole series. And talking about some of these characters' longer arcs, he might. He's a little loose-lipped.
What? In Chapter 2...
Yes.
When Aang said, I guess I'll go back to the Airbenders, when he was banished from the Water Tribe, he's like, wow, I haven't cleaned my room in 100 years. I'm not looking forward to that.
So what Holden's talking about, he's got this mini comic that is, he's only got one, and it's Chapter 2 of Book 1. So it's the second episode. And that's all it is. So he's going to probably be quoting it frequently because he's read it like 12 times.
Okay. Yeah. Let's jump back to some of the
first, second day I got it, I read the whole thing.
Hey, bud. You're going to have to let other people talk too, okay?
Okay.
I know you're excited, but you got to let other people talk. There's four of us here.
So they show the Fire Lord. Like, almost first thing.
Yeah.
And the he was totally miscast, really different in that role.
So, this was one of the big complaints about the movie, was that M. Night was totally insensitive to the races of the world. And it's like, like there's minorities everywhere.
Right.
Like
there's minorities throughout the casting of the film.
The entire Earth Kingdom is Asian. They're all Asian. Mm-hmm. All of the Fire Nation is Indian. Like, where is this... this huge slight against the minorities and non-whites.
Well, and looking, and I'm going to have to do it here, but making a comparison to the TV show.
Looking at
Aang, going back and watching the cartoon, what are you doing? He's showing off the DS game.
So everyone knows how it looks like when you take it out of the
gotcha.
Box.
So... In the cartoon, Aang looks Caucasian.
Yeah.
He's got... I mean, he's the way that they draw Caucasian anime characters. He's got big round eyes. His skin is much lighter than the rest of them. I thought...
Well, he isn't baked in the sun properly, like the rest of the airbenders.
His
tough, leathery skin.
I think that was one of the... M. Night Shyamalan did this on purpose to get a little bit more separation, because in the TV series they never really made the separation between the nations. It looked like everybody was all a uniform. Humanity was all uniform.
Right, right.
Which unreal... Again, that was done mostly for production reasons, but when you're in a live action...
Right.
You know, you want to show more of a dichotomy between each of the separate...
Right. Well,
separate nations.
The more stuff they did in the TV show was clothing based, mm-hmm. but everybody looked the same. Except
right.
Except for the water.
Some of the hairstyles. Sometimes the with the hairstyles
yeah,
and the facial.
That's what I was going to say about Zuko.
The
he
facial
didn't
hair.
Have the ponytail.
You're right, and that actually plays big into the series at a later point too.
The time where he cut his ponytail off.
Right.
He still had his ponytail.
You're right.
But his ponytail was more of a style for his station in life.
Right, it was a symbol of status.
He was a royal part of the royal family, or at least the nobility.
But that's something that they would have to address at some point. Yeah. Like, or they just won't make that style. They won't make that choice in the storytelling.
The reason they cut
their ponytails off was people, the Fire Nation wouldn't recognize them when they were coming after.
You're right.
Found them.
The big thing with it, other than the obvious samurai top knot symbolism, because in the cartoon, the Fire Nation is Asian.
Right.
That's the implications are there that is Japan.
Well, the culture is the same type of culture that is Japan. Aside from that, there's...
Oh, they don't look it.
Right.
Although George Takei does voice one of the voices of the guards on that Earth Derrick prison. But the other reason that the top knot is there and why it doesn't matter for the movie is that's where later the crown goes on his head.
Yes.
Because it has to fit into the tuft of hair, which, since they removed Roku, no longer matters.
Right.
Roku?
Yeah.
Roku.
Avatar Roku?
Before Aang.
That crazy old guy?
Oh, yeah. Avatar Roku.
Yeah.
He's not crazy.
He is kind of crazy in the television show. We'll watch it and you'll see. He's kind of crazy.
So he's like kind of...
He's got this huge, weird beard.
So he's like kind of cuckoo?
Yep, kind of cuckoo.
Yeah.
But only for Cocoa Puffs, which is weird. But Cocoa Puffs are good.
Cocoa for Cocoa Puffs!
I know.
They make
chocolate
Puffs.
Milk in the bowl. You can't beat that.
Yeah. You mix it up. Real good.
I'm not a big fan of this because then it gets soggy. But, alright, anyway.
I like them soggy.
It seems to me that we're missing somebody. Iroh.
Iroh.
Another huge miscast.
Really?
Sokka?
I thought so.
I was fine with Iroh.
No, I wasn't. He did not come off anywhere at all.
We're missing someone.
I thought...
We're missing
two
people.
Serious.
We're missing two people from our recording.
I don't know.
We're missing two people from our
recording. Just a minute. We're still talking. Let's talk about Iroh a little bit. See, I got the impression that
Iroh
was kind of the spirit of the same character. Now they didn't pick someone who physically.
Well, they didn't have to.
You don't have to. I mean, that's.
Right. But he the whole through the movie, the guy is way so serious. He's not the laid back, wisecracking philosopher that he's depicted as, or at least we know him as. He acts like he's still a member of the royal family himself instead of an outcast,
right?
Like Zuko.
But he is an outcast.
Well, and again, in a movie, he's right by Zuko's side all the time as his advisor, and he's pretty much still a part of the royal family. And he's not quite, you know, the laid back guy, not as laid back as you would think he appears to be.
I think part of the problem with the way that he's depicted in the movie is like Zuko isn't as crazy intense as he should be, so it's harder for Iroh to play off of that.
Right.
Because when Zuko's not like, oh, I have to get back my honor right now, and like crazy freaking out like a teenager, Iroh's like, yeah, let's not do that. So there isn't as much of a contrast there as there is elsewhere.
Well, that's one overall arc in this whole movie. I think that was totally missing. There was a whole lot of humor that was just absent. The whole film had a really much more serious tone.
You know what?
Than it should have.
I don't have a problem with that, considering the aggressive nature of the story,
right,
and telling it in such a short span. For there to be any kind of humor and any kind of levity, it kind of goes against what they were going for in this movie. Because in this movie, they were going for Aang's
awakening and figuring out what's going on,
and his becoming comfortable with his station and his mm-hmm. position in life.
Right, that was one of the major arcs. Was again, he was trying to run away from his future.
Right,
or at least trying to prevent the future.
We had multiple episodes for Aang to get to a point where he could be a goofy kid,
mm-hmm.
when in the span of 15-20 minutes, you know, he awakens from ice, he finds out it's been 100 years, everyone he knows
is
dead, and the world is in chaos, his fault.
It's hard to slip jokes in there.
Yeah, at that point, slipping jokes in, quite honestly, it would have felt awkward.
Awkward, but that's the whole one of the whole problems of this movie. It's about 45 minutes to an hour too short. Granted, they're trying to cram 10 hours of story down into a 2-hour time frame, but this is one thing that Shyamalan made a big mistake on was the pacing of this movie is just way too fast.
I don't disagree with that, but I think that the victim of that is not the humor, it's the coming-of-age stories that are omitted. Because every character in the show has their own coming-of-age arc, and they're all awesome, but you only see two of them.
Yeah.
And I would argue you only see one and a half.
Of them. Yeah. And they rushed two of them at that.
Like three-fourths of two of them.
It would have been... You would almost need to break this movie into two full movies
to do
book one justice for everything they told in book one. I mean, there was a lot omitted.
And like I say, this is 10 hours condensed into two. So we leave off a lot of the side stories, character development, or anything else. So
although Suki was omitted in deleted scenes.
What's that?
Suki was in deleted scenes. On the DVD,
yeah, the whole.
But that won't be blended into the. Won't be a director's cut. Okay, Shyamalan has said there's not going to be a director's cut.
This is the director's cut.
Yeah. This is the director's cut. He said this is the director's cut. There's nothing to say that studio can't come out with an
edition.
Come out with an extended edition without his say and use some of those cut scenes.
Always with you, it's the secret tunnel. I like the speculation that Cushman is back. I like the bitter truth that he is not. Actually, I don't like that, but...
Need to say something, bud?
Your turn.
Go ahead.
Go.
Well... Forgot what I was going to say now.
We shut him down too much. skipped his track, his train of thought. Jumped the track and killed a bunch of villagers.
Well, here's the deal. So, I loved Sokka in the TV show, and I did not love Sokka in the movie. Sokka was one of my favorite characters from the TV
show. Was marginalized.
Sokka was marginalized. Sokka was the victim.
Yeah.
The person but
to cut a lot of his goofball stuff.
I remember now. I remember. Iroh looked a lot like the crazy Avatar. He looked a lot like him.
You're right.
He looked a lot like him.
That's fair.
Yeah, that's like the combined Roku and Iroh.
Yeah, and also when he was about to kill the Moon Spirit, he was acting. He was being on the good side. He was being on Aang's side. He was being on Aang's side.
Yep.
The part where Aang was holding his head was getting weird. It was getting weird.
Okay. I'm not sure what you're talking about.
Me neither.
The Moon Spirit, the fish.
Okay.
That he stabbed the knife into.
Yes.
And I was like, no, don't!
You're right.
This world will go into chaos, and so we're all bending.
Okay.
So
I'll take your word for it, because I don't remember that exactly.
Where?
No, he's right.
He was like...
I've learned not to doubt.
That did happen. But then Iroh flips out. And then he sets a lot of stuff on fire.
Yeah.
So they changed the way that bending worked for the movie.
Yeah, I was like,
yes.
They've made it so firebenders can no longer manifest fire, except in super rare cases.
Set fires,
which is
then they can slow the fire.
I am fine with this.
I didn't have a problem with it.
Consistency in the bending.
Wait a second.
Yeah.
I think I've learned the secret to firebending. They put a match right in their sleeve, and before they control fire, they light it and they.
I'm gonna be honest.
That would make more sense than some of the stuff they did in the cartoon.
Yeah. That makes perfect sense.
You're right.
Because
so really, what you're telling me is
fires.
What you're telling me is this movie is Matchstick Men.
With they Nicolas don't really Cage. Touch the fire. They don't actually touch the fire.
You're right.
They just, I think they're airbenders, except they set fires first.
Have you seen Full Metal Alchemist?
No.
The fire. Not. They like just blow the fire.
Okay. That's how it works in Full Metal Alchemist. The guy does is he's got special gloves, and he snaps his fingers.
Karma Sting.
Yeah. It combusts all the elements in the air around his hands.
Okay.
It's essentially the same thing. I feel you.
You're right, though, that
this
they were not consistent.
Off the chain, dog! I just had to put that out!
By the way,
yes, you did.
Book 1 did not give us the best joke from Book 3, which was, I am Wang Fire.
Yeah. Like, Book
3? Fire Nation Psychologist.
Book 3?
Yeah, so...
Well, fire?
Yeah, Foul Source is right. There's never not air for them to bend. There has to be earth for them to bend. There has to be...
Water.
Katara always has the little jug of water that she's whipping out until later on she learns that she can pull it from the air. But
yeah.
Until later on when she goes crazy.
Well.
Yeah. Until later on when
she
I don't
busts
eat her.
Open that pack and then uses that water as a whip.
Yes.
It's weird. That's all she can do.
Oh, that's not all she can do,
no,
though.
She can do a lot more.
She ends up doing
a lot more, though.
Yeah. Like, when Zuko does a fire blast at her, she's like...
Yeah, I liked how they...
Water and fire... aren't a good challenge because water will win. Water
not necessarily.
Will win. Well, not, if there's enough fire, then water won't win.
In fact, it'll turn against you. Then it becomes steam.
Yeah. So yeah, I agree that I think the change in the rules of firebending that they
I was fine with it.
I liked it. I thought
it
made more sense.
Iroh even more awesome.
Mm-hmm.
He just makes dynamite, throws it out. Like, throws a bunch of dynamite. Or maybe that was just for the screening. They were just doing the karate moves, and the screening was doing, like, all the bending action. That would kind of make more sense.
Seems like I guess I'm gonna go with it. Maybe not.
What, Daddy?
Yes.
What does adjourned mean?
To wrap it up.
You mean like over?
Yes.
Like this nomination ceremony is adjourned?
Yes. It means it's over. You've been watching way too much Big Brother with your mommy.
Why? It's a good show.
That's a topic for conjecture.
Yes.
All right, so before you mentioned the exposition and the sometimes painful...
Often painful.
The often painful.
But they were
the one thing. The one thing that I did kind of like about some of the excessive exposition was the fact that I didn't have to explain almost anything about the movie to that little guy right there. There were times where he almost asked a question, but then they explained it. Now. To the point where I knew what the answer was already, so to listen through the explanation was like, okay.
Yeah. If you watched the series, you had a worse experience with the movie.
Yes.
It was a detriment to have watched the series first.
I agree.
The film was constructed in that light that the people who were going to see the movie were probably ones that are not familiar with the series.
It was.
And to be fair,
fans, though, were the ones who went to it.
But to be fair, there were more people that... watched the movie than ever watched the TV series
right.
or watched the DVD.
Right. Exactly.
So
it
did succeed for those people.
In that thought, it it was perfectly constructed.
Right.
It was the complete opposite mindset of Watchmen. Where Watchmen was intentionally complex for the fans. It's like, oh, hey, this scene doesn't need to be here because it makes the storytelling weird. But they left it in because I'm a fan and I wanted to see it.
You're right.
And this one, they changed it. Yeah, they also removed a lot of the Nickelodeon slapstick, but I was stoked about it. I was like, thank God.
Yeah,
stupid.
The one thing that, I mean, to make the comparison, it was kind of like what Sony did with Spider-Man and Fox did with X-Men, where they took the concept, this, especially, I mean, Spider-Man, they stayed a little more true to. But with X-Men, they said, okay, this is the concept of the X-Men. And these are the characters that you know. But the colorful costumes, the backstory, it doesn't work for a film. So we're going to tell you in this way. We're going to tell this story in this way.
Which is why I liked the X-Men movie.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't tell the story like a comic book. It didn't tell the story like the comic book did, but if it would have, it would have failed.
If it told the story like the comic book, then you would have to have a 50-minute discussion on, well, which comic book are we talking about?
Exactly.
And what point? Yeah. And then which reboot? Because we can't ever tell a story without rebooting.
Well, we can't tell the story of the X-Men from the origin. Where are you going?
Only half the thing. You guys are talking way more than I was.
Just a minute. You'll get a chance to talk. It's all right.
I don't have anything to say.
Then just sit quietly for a few moments, and you'll get a chance when we get back around to it. This is how it works.
Give and take.
You cut Daryl off enough early. You can wait there now quietly for a few minutes.
Do what I do when they talk, and I don't care what they're saying. Just flex your guns.
Do some airbender poses for the camera.
Yes. You're perfectly aligned.
But, I mean, yeah, you can't take the X-Men and take the X-Men from their origin story because then you wouldn't have Wolverine, and we can't do X-Men without Wolverine now.
No, I don't want to see a movie without Wolverine.
Yeah, so...
Notice which character they got rid of for the third movie? It wasn't Wolverine.
Nope.
It was Cyclops, because Cyclops sucks.
But Cyclops was one of the original X-Men, so...
That's fine, but he still sucks.
Actor played him well.
Cyclops,
you know, for that character.
Oh, no, he wasn't bad at all. No, he was good. I just don't like Cyclops.
Was Cyclops born with the Vision? No, he was not.
I thought he was.
His powers manifested later.
No, his powers manifested later. He was in a plane crash and he's bumped his head. And the theory is that blew out the portion of his mutant of his brain that would have been able to control the eye blast. That's why he has to wear the visor.
And the glasses.
I know way too much about this stuff. Anyway,
I have to wear the glasses
because he tends to burn down everything when he does.
Yeah, because his eye beam, he can't control his eye beam, so he needs the glasses to control it.
He's a stand-up comedian, and he'd be too funny without them.
That too.
He'd burn the house down everywhere he went.
Literally.
You went way too far for that joke.
Yeah, but you know what? It worked.
It did work.
What about if the teacher said, take off your glasses?
She was in for
She'd
a rude
job
awakening.
Very quick.
Yes. All right.
They went through six teachers.
Yes.
So,
getting back to the movie, since we want to bring Holden back into the discussion because he's getting bored. We need him for more of these because he'll bring us back on topic quicker.
Yeah. Right now, you're on 10th.
Chibi, that's disgusting. Send it to me.
And there's 20 places. So we're half the place right now.
Okay. All right, so...
Bring me back in, and then I will bring you back up.
Come on over!
My favorite is Chibi's like, there's a hentai for this. Everybody's like, no, send it to us.
Yeah.
All right, I'm bringing you back on top! Who wants to get back on top?
You mean task?
Back on task.
Yeah, well, right. You're getting... back on first place.
Stay
man.
On target.
Yeah,
you are getting back
okay.
on first place, dog. Getting on first
All right. Please. What do you want to say about the movie?
Go for it. What else do you want to say?
Your turn.
My most favorite part, no, the most weirdest part, was when, how did the boat turn around? It's weird. All there was a wave. It's weird.
They just turned around.
They have engines.
Boats can do that. All the Fire Nation stuff used engines.
Yeah.
They have steam engines.
Yeah.
Yeah, but what if they took on water?
Then they would
well,
sink.
Actually, this, most of them didn't in the movie.
Yeah, and that movie, what episode was that?
It was the last two episodes of book one.
I thought it would be exactly like my book. I thought it would be.
Your book is only the second episode of book one.
Yeah. Two, right?
The second episode of book one.
Oh. A lot more to come.
Yeah. It's very early.
Oh.
Is his little booklet. All right.
Should we just go ahead and send it to my email address? You know you're going to.
When the water tribe first finds out T'Challa and Aang went on that forbidden ship.
Let's just talk about Toph. We all want to.
No, you really want to.
Everybody's thinking about it. I've already picked my twos.
Yeah.
Twice.
I want to go. Once I want to go to Bolt. I want to go to Bolt.
Bolt?
Bolt?
Movie.
No, we're not talking about the completely different movie at this point.
That's next time.
Yeah.
You got to stay on this.
Let's talk about the series.
Well, we've been doing quite a bit of that.
Despite the fact that I wasn't going to do that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Fire.
Ultimately, I think it's a flawed movie, but it succeeds in telling a good story, but it suffered from
not having Zack Snyder direct it.
It
suffers from being basically too short to start with.
A little bit of that, but also a little bit. It could have been edited a little tighter.
Yeah,
there was some real editing problems that I found in some of the dialogue. There were points in the dialogue where someone would talk
and then look,
and then they'd continue talking. it was painful and awkward, and you almost wished for, you know, can I have 5 minutes with Final Cut Pro? We can clean this up a little bit.
The biggest crime of this movie.
Actor, do not stare into camera while delivering dialogue.
The biggest crime.
Blame
of this
the director
movie,
for that, though. I mean, that's bad direction.
Yes,
is its mediocrity with such great source material. That's the crime of this movie.
But if you don't know the source material,
then you'd have a better time with it.
You have a better time with it, but you still don't have a great time with it.
No, there's still problems with it.
Right. It would still if
guys, let's just skip to the end because
that's
the place we'll get
doing
back on top.
We're leaving everything else out.
If you went to this movie completely not knowing anything,
we're like 100 feet,
it would be a fairly mediocre
from
action
task.
Film.
And I would take us back on task.
See, Neosect is saying what I was kind of saying earlier. Who's the target audience?
Yeah.
Who is the target audience? You need the pauses for comprehension for younger viewers. I mean, that happened to us. There were times where, when we were watching the movie, there was one point where you turned around and said, Daddy, why is he doing that?
Yeah, okay, but there's a conflict in the target audience.
You're right.
Which is, that's another problem with it. It's like, yeah, it's great that you can explain everything to a younger audience, but you can't present the movie as a dark, gritty, adult, war-torn world.
Who is doing what?
That's post-genocidal, and then present that to children.
You're right.
Because they don't
spoon-fed it.
They didn't spoon-fed like things like the genocide. Mm-hmm. Like, they steered clear of that. Like, there wasn't a 10-minute exposition on, they slaughtered
Daddy,
the airbenders.
That
did not happen.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
Daddy?
Yes?
Why do we need these things?
I'll explain it later. Quit touching the microphone.
Okay.
So, it was just a weird... The storytelling was awkward.
I think one of the things that they tried to do, and one of the failures of the movie, is that they tried to go for broad mass appeal and said, you know what, we're not going to cater to the fans because we want a broader appeal.
They did too much.
And you know what? I don't have a problem with that because if you take a look at comic book movies, comic book fans have been bitching and moaning and complaining about this since the beginning of time. That
that's what they
they're not being true to my story. Well, you know what? Who cares?
It's
not just your story. You know, and comic books have a very, very small sales base versus how many people go see these movies.
Right.
There's a lot more people than ever read comic books that go see these movies. And they kind of use the same logic here, but they actually kind of, I think they went too far. And
I don't think the execution supports that decision.
Something
it didn't.
Going on
and no, yeah, which is exactly. And that's the problem. All right, we're not going to worry about what the fans think. But at some point, you can't make the fans mad. Because if you get to the point where you get fans saying, no, you're doing this wrong, this is not what it is, stop.
Right, your fans are going to
all you're going to do is scare away the people who would have potentially gone to see it. Because they thought it was something that looked cool from the trailer.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have people who are fans of the original source material saying, don't bother, don't waste your time, it's nothing
go
see the original, that's... You're not going to win any... You're not going to win any contests by doing that.
I tell people to go see the original.
I do, too.
I don't recommend people go see the movie. I recommend people go see the movie when they tell me how terrible it is. And then tell me that they haven't seen it. M. Night Shyamalan ruined that movie. Really? When did you see it? Well, I haven't, but I read that he did. I understand.
See the movie. Form your own opinion.
You can understand something without experiencing it. I understand pregnancy. I understand what happens.
Yes.
I don't need to experience it because I can't.
Right.
Nor do I want to. Media does not work that way. I can understand a song all day, but until I listen to the song, I really don't have an opinion on it.
Mm-hmm.
Booyah. You tell your friends at summer camp who spoiled it for you, that's what I think. Tell them that. You need me to write it down for you? Because I will.
Okay.
Because I will. You can understand it without experiencing it.
Okay.
Give that back to me.
So,
skip to the end. Tidal wave! Whoosh.
I like the tidal wave. I thought it was cool.
I dug that they didn't capsize any boats in the tidal wave, but they went ahead and showed an on-screen brutal murder.
That was weird. I thought that was kind of weird how far they went with that.
Wait a minute. Like, most of the other deaths in the series, it was very ambiguous. We just kind of washes away. And then never resurfaces.
Not this one.
Not this one.
He was dead.
Yeah, that guy's dead.
He was good and dead.
Ooh. General Zhao.
The general
when
at the end?
Drowned
when they drowned him in the big ball of water. Remember that?
Oh, yeah. The big bubble of water.
Yeah.
That floated off.
The movie did not have Koizilla. In the movie, he flies to the wall and then bends the sea by himself. Did Jed die? You know, it was really unclear.
Oh, dear. That was funny.
Here's my hope for this series.
I don't want to stay up until 11.
Don't worry, you're not going to.
Quit touching the microphone.
We're almost done.
We're almost done.
So, this is my hope for what happened. I hope they make the next movie because I want to see Toph. If they mess Toph up, I'm going to be sad because Toph is so awesome. What I want to happen between book 2 and book 3, maybe, I don't know how they'll do that, maybe if they split 3 into 2 parts, do the first part of 3,
because that happens lately.
Stop, release a half hour Ember Island Players, and then give me a third movie.
That would be fantastic.
To wrap everything up.
You know, when I watched the series, I got to the Ember Island Players episode, and I thought, this was the greatest way to do that one filler episode that you need to
always
do.
Always recap.
You have to do an episode that is a recap episode, but they did it in such a clever and creative way that
yes.
captured the whole series. They completely retold the whole series.
From a different point of view.
From a different point of view. What was it? An incredibly knowledgeable cabbage salesman. Yeah, and then...
Did they just cast me as a huge, muscular man? Oh, art imitates life, tough. How does that feel?
That
oh, no.
Awesome.
That's awesome. I wouldn't have done it any other way.
Yeah. I mean, I thought it was a really clever way of wrapping it up, but making it an interesting filler episode.
Before would you get say all that real serious?
Before everything got serious.
Would you say that you and Aang have a rocky relationship? I love Sokka. Everything Sokka did from season 2 on was awesome.
Yeah, what I kind of hope happens is that we almost see a little bit of what happened to George Lucas, happened to M. Night Shyamalan, and he works so hard on this that he gets exhaustion and he can't quite work on the next one the same way he worked on the first movie, so they have to bring in other people to supplement the material he did and punch it up and make it even better. Kind of like what happened with Lucas in Empire Strikes Back. Because Lucas,
well, here's
his hands really weren't in Empire the way they were in Star Wars.
I'll go on public record and say that I am willing to consult on these movies. If they need somebody who is comfortable with the source material, is a mediocre to terrible writer, and
you've got that nailed.
I got that nailed, and doesn't really want to work their current job. So, like,
that's a win-win-win.
I'm a three-way for that guy.
Okay.
So
you're a triple threat.
I am. I am the contender.
And you can punch it up quite a bit, too.
No, I'm not promising that. I'll just make sure that Toph is, like, hot and blonde and 6.5 foot tall, which, given the trend, I mean, come on. I'm not going to be too far off from it.
Oh, you're killing
where
me.
Where are you at?
You're killing me, dog.
Get in your seat.
He's one of the most interesting. Well, like I say, we got two of the most interesting characters yet to be introduced, and we only got a small taste of one of them.
Yeah.
Azula is only on screen for about 15 seconds.
And the Fire Lord doesn't look anything like he does in the series.
That was intentional.
I'm actually
yeah,
okay with that.
That's fine.
That doesn't bother me.
I didn't have a problem with that either.
He looks exactly like Roku.
I was hoping Azula would be hot.
Roku?
Well,
Roku? He looks exactly like Roku, but
like I say, you got your two most interesting characters coming up. You cannot screw them up.
You can.
Well, you can.
Well, you can.
You can, but at your own peril.
Yeah.
I don't like Azula, so.
What the God?
All right,
I'm done here.
I think we're just about wrapped up.
They have not shown Azula's gal pals.
No, they don't. No.
Goddamn, the acrobatics chick is that chick should be hot.
Do you have anything else you want to say?
No.
No, that's it.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm done.
What if you could have changed anything about the movie? What would you have done differently?
I would have.
You would have played Aang.
No.
That's what I would change. I would have had you playing.
I would have changed Aang's arrows.
Really?
To the way they were in the series.
Solid colors instead
just
of all the little
lights.
Squigglies?
Yeah. Because it was hard to keep track of artists. The design.
Strobe lights.
Okay. So are you going to be Aang for Halloween?
Yeah.
Awesome.
That's a good move.
Well, you could also be rather bold and be Toph.
I'll go as Toph. I'll go as
Ember Barefoot?
Island. I'll go as Ember Island Toph.
Ember Island yeah. Toph, there you go.
I think you should be Jeff Hardy.
Who?
Who?
Jeff Hardy.
Who's that?
Jeff Hardy.
He's a wrestler.
Oh.
I am a wrestler.
What are you talking about?
That's
Jeff
next week.
Hardy.
I am a wrestler.
Oh, okay.
My wrestling name is El Tigre.
El Tigre.
We're gonna talk about the wrestler
that
next week.
I know him.
I just made that up. So
I don't Manny know Rivera's. What movie I know him from.
Manny Rivera.
You might know that from, wasn't that one of the names of the ninja kung fu dudes in Kung Fu Panda?
El Tigre?
I never saw that
No.
one.
That's Tigress.
Tigress. It was Tigress in that one.
You guys win. You guys win Name That Tiger.
I wanna
Okay, Holden, thank you very much for joining us tonight.
You're welcome.
Get that off your mouth so people can hear you.
All right, you're welcome.
And I think that's we're gonna call it a night.
Yep.
And let the chat room get into
Not
their
yet.
Very
we're
weird place.
We're still missing something.
Okay, what? What are we missing?
We are missing my airbender moves. Boom! Yeah! I'm getting thirsty.
Oh my god.
I wonder why.